Chapel. And we have a special Sunday here for you this morning. You may have walked in, noticed some good-looking young people greeting you as you came in, handing you bulletins, saying, welcome to Hope Chapel. Maybe at the doors, ushers, you saw them up here as worship team. That's because this Sunday is our Youth Takeover Sunday. Yay! All right, thanks, Stacy. Thanks for starting us out. Could always count on Stacy and her daughter Grace, too. But this is a Youth Takeover Sundays. What that means is we are here, the youth group is here to serve Hope Chapel in areas maybe that some of you may serve on a typical Sunday morning. We just wanted to bless you guys and just kind of show you who we are, be a part of the church, because that's a very important thing. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today a little bit. David and Michelle, our junior high directors, are going to be our guest speakers for today. Just a little quick thing about them. They are very close friends to me and Allison, very dear friends. They, again, are our junior high directors. They have been so for the past 2 years plus and have been serving faithfully in our youth ministry for over 4 years now, I believe. And they just love students, they love the Lord, and they just love Hope Chapel. And so would you help me in welcoming David and Michelle to be our speakers this morning?
Thank you, Josh. Good morning, church. We are the Van Skyhawks, and we are so excited. Today is Youth Takeover, and Pastor Paul asked if we would give the message, and we couldn't be more honored and more blessed. Just a quick info about us. We've been in youth ministry for about 4 years, and we've been in our roles as the youth directors for about 2 years.
And for those of you who don't know us, we have been married for 5 years. We celebrate our five-year anniversary this last April. And we are celebrating our 12-year dating anniversary in October. So we met when we were teenagers. I was 18 and he was 19. We met working together at Marie Callender's. Our second date was my high school graduation. So as you can see, we were young. We were best friends. We fell in love. And now we just love doing life together even more. We love doing ministry together. And we're so blessed to be here with all of you.
Amen. Can we give a quick shout out? As you may have seen some of our youth up here, we have Jackson. And Jonah's around here somewhere. But their great grandma is here, and today's her 97th birthday. Happy birthday, Anna. So we're so excited to bring the message this morning. I think we're equally a little nervous as well. We've never spoken up here before. So we might do things as if we were speaking to the youth, if that's okay with you guys. So let's go ahead. If you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap twice. If you can hear me, clap three times. Oh, you guys are awesome. All right, I'd like to hand it over to Michelle.
Thank you, honey. So today, out of all things, we're going to be talking about our youth. So fitting, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I love reminiscing about the things that I grew up with. And it just makes me warm and fuzzy thinking of all these nostalgic memories and things I used to enjoy. So before we start each message at our youth group, we like to give interesting facts centered around the message we're going to talk about. So we are going to go through some interesting facts to bring you guys back to your years as a teenager, hopefully. So some fun memories to give you. So if you were a teenager in the 1960s, okay, taking it way back, the hottest cars around that time that teenagers wanted to have were Pontiac GTOs, and then, of course, the Ford Mustang and Chevy Camaro. Those were the hot cars, right? And if you were a teenager in the 1970s, the hottest cars at that time was the Pontiac Firebird, if you remember that. But most teenagers in the 1970s couldn't afford the Pontiac Firebird. Instead, they could only afford the Ford Pinto, right? That's a little bit more a teenager's car. So if you grew up in the 1980s as a teenager, you may remember some of the popular movies at that time being Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the Breakfast Club, Footloose, right, and maybe Teen Wolf. And then so talk about a little bit of fashion. In the 1970s, polyester was like the biggest thing of that time, and bright colors were totally in. And then you can't forget about pantsuits, leisure suits, and track suits, whatever those are. Maybe someone could fill me in on that. But I guess those were the rage in those times. So a little bit more we're going to talk about then and now, do a comparison of what times were like back when you were a teenager to our, and compare it to our kids nowadays and what they go through. So we'll talk about TV, right? Teenagers like to watch TV. And if you were a teenager in the 1970s, some of the most popular shows were The Brady Bunch, Different Strokes, maybe Dukes of Hazzard was a show that you watched. And back then, everybody watched these shows on the same night, right? They all came on, you tuned in, and you watched them, and then the next day you talked about it with your friends. Well, today, it's not uncommon for kids, for their main source of TV to be YouTube, Netflix, these online sources. And what's interesting is they have thousands of shows to choose from, and they're able to share instantly with their friends. They can share it on social media, they can text, video chat, and talk about it instantly. So as a teenager, how did you make plans with your friends when you wanted to hang out? So it may have been you may have had to call their landline, their home landline, and had to go through like the stress and like the awkward likeness of having to talk to their parents or maybe like an older sibling and go through that conversation before you could even get in contact with your friend. Well, today our teens have that instant connection with their friends between social media, video chatting, and instant messaging. They're always connecting with their friends. And what about hanging out with your friends? What did you used to do? Maybe 30 to 40 years ago, you went to a friend's house and hung out in maybe a treehouse that their parents made. Or maybe you went to the park or went to the ice cream store. And you just talked and hung out. Well, today, virtually all social networks have video chatting. So you're seeing more than ever, kids are just constantly chatting video with their friends. They don't even hang out face-to-face a lot of the times. They're just through the screen. So interesting how times have changed, right? How times have changed. So let me ask you a question. Do you remember living in a time where your parents couldn't stand your music? Right? So remember, they didn't understand the way you dressed either. They didn't get your friends, and they just didn't get what you were into. Did your parents ever think that teenagers were too loud, crazy, and wild, and rebellious, right? I know my mom thought that I was, and she just didn't get me at all. When I was in high school, the cool place to hang out on Friday nights was the In-N-Out parking lot. And we didn't eat there. We didn't have money to eat there. But we just hung out in the parking lot. We probably blocked the front entrance, sat on the tables, and we just hung out and figured out what we were going to do next. Well, most Friday nights we'd get kicked out because we were just loitering and getting in the way, I guess, of everybody. And so we'd probably leave and say something rude to the workers and leave. But now that I'm older, when I go to In-N-Out, I get annoyed, right? When I go to In-N-Out and I'm trying to find a seat and there's nowhere to sit and I just look around and there's teenagers everywhere just sitting and not even eating, and it just makes me so angry. So, like, shouldn't they be hanging out somewhere else? But I guess it's funny, as we get older, the more we forget what it was like in our teenage years, and it's hard to relate. Do you remember that weird transitional age where you weren't a child but then you weren't an adult? You really didn't fit in anywhere, especially on those holiday dinners or like weddings where you had to sit at the kids' table. And you didn't get along with the kids because you were like older than them and they were really little. But then the adults didn't think you were old enough to be a part of their conversations. So you were kind of stuck in the middle and you were disconnected. And now more than ever, with the recent rise in social media, the increase in our cost of living and parents having to work a lot more to support families, they're homeless, we have the convenience of fast food, we're always on the go, everything's fast. It's creating this disconnect in our families and our communities. We aren't around and we don't have the time to spend bonding and connecting like we may have in the past. And we're losing the time to get to know each other and to learn about our teenagers, their interests, what they're into, their needs, their insecurities, their struggles. We've lost the connection between the generations. So how do we get that link back? How do we begin making those connections with our younger generation again? And so that's a question that I'm going to bring David up, and he is going to answer those for us. So thank you.
Okay, so before I can answer some of those questions, I want to give you guys some more interesting facts and just tell you how awesome our youth group is. 58% of our youth that attend youth group don't have a parent that attends Hope Chapel or goes to church. Let me repeat that again. 58% of our students have a parent that don't attend church or come to Hope Chapel. So that is an example of faithfulness right there. That is like saying, Mom, Dad, I know you may not believe, but please take me to church so I can hear a word from God. And not only that, but the students come to us as leaders, and they ask us for prayer. They ask us for advice. Hey, how can I talk to my brother at home? How can I talk to my mom or dad? They are amazing. How many have attended OSL? That's awesome. OSL 2 is going to start next month, and so just shout out to Ainsley. She wanted me to share that. So if you've attended OSL, you know as part of one of the requirements is that you're supposed to invite someone new to church every week. And I'll be completely honest that I've dragged my feet, and I've been completely guilty of being too scared to invite people. So I've had to do the walk of shame to go talk to Ainsley at the beginning of OSL because I was too scared to invite people. But that doesn't stop our youth. Our youth continue to invite their friends week after week after week. And we thought that it was so amazing that we created this cool little plan that if you invited four friends to church, you got to go to your dinner of choice with the Van Skyhawks. And I'll be completely honest, we haven't necessarily always been good about staying on top of that or following up with that, but that hasn't stopped our youth. They continue to bring their friends every single week. And it's so awesome, too, because you can tell which ones are new by the size of their eyes during worship when the hands go up. So we're a Pentecostal church, amen? Another interesting fact is many of our youth, including sixth graders, have already received their spiritual language. Yeah, two received their spiritual language last week. So I can go on and on telling you guys just how amazing our youth group is. But let me ask you guys some questions by show of hands. How many of you just learned something new about our youth today? Okay. How many of you are surprised by the spiritual maturity of our youth? Okay. Do you believe, you personally, that you can impact the youth? Awesome. Now, whether you raised your hand or you didn't, that's completely okay. I know that's a very complex, difficult question to ask. Ask me that question 4 years ago. To be completely honest, my hand probably wouldn't have gone up. And in fact, many of you may know Jared Mueller. That is the very question he asked me 4 years ago, my wife and I. And let me just tell you guys, we were like deer in the headlights. And we said those like four beautiful words that get you out of most ministries that you don't want to get involved with. We'll pray on it. But God had plans for us. So let's go ahead and take out our Bibles or our mobile Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll go ahead and put one in your hand. The title for today's message is The Full Intergenerational Body of Christ. So go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians 12. And we'll start at verse 12. So let me go ahead and open us up in prayer. Lord, we know that you are here. God, I just pray that you can just completely just speak through me by your Holy Spirit, Father, and I just pray for our hearts and our ears to be open to receive you and to receive something new from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to start at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So what this passage is saying is on your body, you have 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 arms, 2 legs, a nose, maybe an eye or two. But although you have these many members, you are one body. And so is the church in Christ's absence. Although we are many members, we are all different. We are the body of Christ. So youth ministry actually leads us into our first point. The youth are part of the body of Christ. So youth ministry, why is it vital? What's its role? Now, sometimes we may not think about it or see it, but teenagers' lives are involved in the life of church. They are the hands and the feet of Jesus. They aren't just the future church. They aren't just the church in waiting. They aren't spectators. They are participants actively in the body of Christ. And when we read in Corinthians, the church being the body and the body having many parts, all these parts are essential. Teenagers are a part of that body. We aren't just waiting until they're 18. We're just not waiting until they're 21. We aren't waiting for them to get married or to have kids. They are an active part of the body as soon as they receive the Holy Spirit. And we need to engage them as full members of the body of Christ. Let's pick up verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not of an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one body, where would the body be? Now, how many know that life would be difficult with one arm? How many know that life would be that much more difficult with one leg? What if you didn't have any fingers? Some of us wouldn't be able to point at people when they cut us off. But God gave us a perfect balance of members and body parts, so that way we would be balanced. We would be complete. We would be not lacking. How many of you are into sports? Awesome, because I'm not at all. Josh knows this. Where is he? He's probably shaking his head yes right now. He always tries to talk to me about sports, and it's really awkward. But he's going to be really proud of me for researching this one, okay? How many know that in most sports, you have multiple what? Positions. All right? Now, baseball, for example, when you're playing defensively, you have a pitcher, you have a catcher, you have shortstop, which I don't know what that is yet. You have first, second, third baseman. You have a left outfielder, a center, and a right. So why do you have all these positions? So that you would be balanced, because there's a lot of ground to cover out there. So you need various positions to make sure that you're not lacking in coverage from the various scenarios that we can run into. Imagine a baseball team with only infield players. And if there's an outfield ball, everyone's scrambling to get out there. Or imagine if you had a baseball team of just a bunch of people standing on first base. You have all this coverage that you need people over here. And so we, the church, the body of Christ, can become unbalanced, lacking, not complete, if we're not utilizing and integrating our teenagers into the larger body of Christ. This brings us into our second point. The youth have a unique role in the body of Christ. So, what can we do? How can we integrate them? It may not be typical in our culture for adults to say, hey, let's invite teenagers into the room to help us think of a problem. But let's integrate teenagers into our conversations, into our ministries. You see, what ends up happening is youth ministry ends up focusing on teenagers, and then the adults tend to do their own thing, and what happens is the adults are losing the benefit of teenagers being connected to the adults in church as well. So they kind of coexist, but they're not functioning as a whole body altogether. With the explosion of the internet, you have kids now manufacturing. You have kids that can produce, connect with a new audience that we've never been able to reach before. They can get started with a fistful of dollars instead of applying for jobs. And we're seeing students and teachers with this creative entrepreneur orientation for their future. And we have a culture of teens that want to engage life that way. And we as a church may or may not be giving them the opportunity to participate in that way. And you probably already know, teens are smart. Their brains are smart, they're creative, they think outside the box, they think with a fresh, creativity that they can bring to the table. And young people aren't always gonna have the wisdom, but they have skills, and they see the world differently, and God can use them to keep the church healthy. Let's pick up at verse 24. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the member should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, the whole member suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, growing up back in the day, we used to know more people. We used to know our law enforcement. We used to know our principals at our school. We used to know our teachers, our neighbors. And nowadays, we're not seeing that those connections are being made as much anymore. We don't know our law enforcement. We may not know the people teaching our students anymore. Those connections aren't there. So now, we have to be intentional through intergenerational ministry. So what defines intergenerational? The definition is, intergenerational is defined as relating to, involving, or affecting several generations. Now, traditionally, when we hear the term intergenerational ministry, we think of the youngsters serving our elders through acts of service, and we think, hey, let's get our teenagers together to serve the elders, the seniors at our banquet, and then no one shows up. In trying to become intergenerational, what it does is it breaks down barriers, and teenagers start to say, hey, this isn't just for my mom. This isn't just for my dad. This is something for me. You see, because students want to do something with their life that makes a difference. This leads us into our third point. The youth plus you equals unity in the body of Christ. So when we're intentional through intergenerational ministry, God can begin working in new ways in our lives. This can create new scenarios for connections, for volunteers, a new way to reach a new audience, mentoring, a family that can maybe connect with a new student. And when students are engaged and know that church matters, they know, hey, if I don't show up, it matters. I'm important. Now, teaching is important, but so are relationships. And what it's doing is it's unleashing the kingdom in our students' lives to be a part of his restorative work. Let me ask this question. If all the adults were to die, would the teenagers say, hey, we're already in the motion, let's keep doing this? Paul in Thessalonians says, hey, you guys already love each other, but love each other that much more. And we sometimes need to learn how to do that in these changing times. You see, what we do sometimes is we think of adolescents as they're not a child, yet they're not an adult, when in reality, they're this fabulous, chaotic concoction of both of those things, and they're incredibly adult-like, and they're incredibly childlike simultaneously. But the more that we speak to the adult side of adolescents, we'll see that come out. And if we look historically, people were doing more grown-up things and adult-like things when they were younger than presently. And I think part of that's because we segmented adolescence as being a phase. And I think the more that we call out to the adult in teenagers, the more they'll see it. So let me ask a question. How do you call out to the adult? I'd like to invite up the worship team. There's an old saying that goes, if you yell into a piano, the only strings that'll vibrate are the ones that are on the vibration of your voice. In youth ministry, when you have one person speaking, there's only going to be certain teenagers that are going to vibrate with it. Now, what we need is a choir of adults singing out to the youth so they respond. Me, myself, personally, there's always a certain group of teens that I resonate with. And usually it's going to be a lot of the younger boys who have maybe a broken relationship with their father or maybe no relationship with their father. And it's probably because that's what I went through when I was younger. So they resonate with me. But there's also another group of kids that no matter how hard I try, it's just hard to connect. But there are also other leaders that connect with them. But if we come together and have this constellation of people that are around them and not afraid to that, we can lead into it and make the body of Christ that much stronger to be able to reach further out. So in conclusion, let's start by pulling them into our lives, our social groups, our ministries. Walk up to a teen or two this Sunday and ask them about their week. Ask them about their studies or their hobbies or what they recently read in the Bible. Tell them about yourself. Create a meaningful dialogue as the first step to building a relationship. You'll discover fears, insecurities, needs, desires that'll equip you to serve them intentionally. So that way, the whole body of Christ is whole, balanced, not lacking, thoroughly equipped for all of God's works. So we're going to go ahead and get into worship. And let's let God just minister to our lives and just speak to us. And we're all just going to worship him all together as the full body of Christ.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Let's all stand together and sing to him.
Jesus' name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, Lord. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. And open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. And open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you. again, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, and open up my eyes and wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, open up my eyes and wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those. Sing, I will build, and I will build my life upon your love.
Everybody can take a seat. My name's Jason, and this is my beautiful wife, Sarah. And we're just going to pray over the school year and then the teachers and the children. But David's message is just so good today. I mean, it's just right on point. Every Wednesday, we get to hear David speak, and every time he brings a word, I just want more and more and more every time he speaks it. And Michelle did such a great job with all those facts, and really enjoyed it today. We've been doing youth group for 2 years now on the Wednesday nights, and it's really changed our lives. Pastor Josh married us last April, and David was one of my groomsmen, and then the youth was actually in our wedding to help out. So the kids really keep us accountable. They iron sharpens iron. We're there for them. They're there for us the same way. So we're going to ask all the teachers, if you taught in the past, to please stand up. Or students, any students in today's in the church, you can please stand up. And current teachers, any current teachers? Cool. I'm going to have Sarah pray for everybody.
And if you guys just want to extend your hands to any teachers or students by you. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the people standing, God, the students and the teachers, Lord, in this room, God, that I lift up this upcoming year to you, Lord. Just so encouraged by 1 Corinthians 15:58, God, that you tell us to not be just be immovable, God, and strong, Lord, to continue your work, Jesus, and to know that it's never useless, God, that when these teachers get maybe overwhelmed or maybe a little bit, just if their patience is ever lacking, God, that you would come, God, and you would fill them up, God, and renew them, Jesus, to remind them, God, that they're impacting so many lives and that you would help them, give them eyes like you, Jesus, to see the kids that maybe need more attention, God, and that they would be able to be the lights in their campuses, God. And just like the students standing up, God, that you would make them strong, God, and that you would fill them, Lord, to walk in your ways, Jesus, that the world would be changed by them, God, and that they wouldn't be changed by the world, Jesus, that they would show your kingdom on their campuses, God, to their friends and their peers, Jesus, that you would put something in them that is so different, and that you would give them the courage and the boldness to be just like you. We love you, Jesus, and we just ask this all in your name. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.